Hey, you're listening to Mom, Wife, and Boss Life, where we have unfiltered conversations. I am your host, Yolanda Villa. Hello, hello. Oh my gosh, you guys, it feels so good to record a podcast. I believe my last recorded podcast was 2 months ago with Alyssa. It has been hectic. It has been a crazy ride for sure. But what was promised was promised. I know I had mentioned in the previous episode about my miscarriage that happened last year. And I was going to discuss it a little bit more on this episode. We're going to get into that. But I just want to give you guys an update on what my family and I have been doing. I am now currently 35 weeks pregnant. And we decided about a month and a half ago to move to the city, San Francisco. So here we are, 2 weeks into our move, we got the flu. And we know we got the flu because we both tested negative for COVID. You know, being pregnant and not being able to take certain medications, we were doing the move. It literally wiped us out for almost 3 weeks. And so just to be cautious, we didn't go into the office. We didn't go anywhere even after we got our test. We just wanted to fully recover and be strong before we went out. It's pretty much where we've been. So like I said, it was hard to record an episode during the move. And then when we got, you know, the flu, I couldn't even talk. I had like a sore throat. Even if I talked for 2 minutes, not even 2 minutes, I would go into coughing fits. There was no way I was going to be able to record a podcast episode. You know, you guys would have just heard coughing fits for 45 minutes. To give you guys just, you know, time frame, my miscarriage happened in October at 11 weeks. Prior to that, you know, we had been trying. You know, if it happened, it happened. So we were pretty excited because my daughter had been asking for a little brother, sister. She had been praying like every day. And so we were excited. We started thinking, let's go ahead and hire people for the office because I kind of want to take it this pregnancy, like a chill pregnancy. So we did hire someone. You know, at the time we were remodeling the office also. So both of us excited about the pregnancy. And we set up an appointment. We take the kids with us because we feel like, okay, we're going to do the ultrasound and then we'll let them know they're like, we'll come out and all this stuff, right? So we go to my appointment, and on the way there, I'm starting to feel a little bit cramping, and I'm thinking like, oh, you know, like, you know, I'm just excited or something. When I get there, I feel that like a period, like something started. So I go to the bathroom. And I noticed a little bit more bleeding. And at that point, I'm like, okay, I'm here. You know, if it's something bad, we'll be able to figure it out. I go, while I'm waiting for my appointment, they do the ultrasound. And the doctor says, you know what, are you sure you're 11 weeks? Because we see something, but we don't see a heart. And we don't have the other ultrasound machine to check you. And so I could see in their face that we're worried. And I say, okay. They're like, and so we're going to send you to the other hospital to go do that. I could see the worry in their face. My husband was very positive, and he's like, you know, everything's going to be fine. Maybe, you know, you were wrong. Maybe you're not 11 weeks. And I'm starting to get scared. I'm starting to get scared, but I don't want to show it because my kids are there with me, and they don't even know what we're there for. We just told them I had an appointment. And because of my thyroid and all that stuff, they're kind of used to those appointments. We go to the next building across the street. And while I'm walking there, I just feel a gush of blood. I'm walking through the hallway trying to figure out. I tell my husband and I tell him, just stay with the kids. And I could see the worry in his face. He's still dealing with my kids and handling work stuff. Because at the time, like I said, we were extremely busy. Trying to go find a bathroom and I can't find it. And I see a guy nurse. And I'm just saying it's a guy because he must have seen the panic in my face or must have seen me like anxious. And he's like, ma'am, are you okay? And I tell him, I'm trying to find the bathroom. But at that point, I'm like in tears. And that someone just asking like, are you okay? Like it got me more emotional. And he takes me to like a little side, and you know, there's a bathroom right there. I go in there and I'm just bleeding, and I stay there for about 15 minutes and I'm bleeding, and I realize I'm having a miscarriage. We finally go into my appointment and they do the ultrasound and they tell me that it looks like, you know, there's no heartbeat. There's a, you know, a fetus, but there's no heartbeat. And I was just like in shock. Like the next 45 minutes is literally a blur for me. I feel horrible because I see my kids and I see that they like, I can't express my emotions to them and they must feel that I'm sad and my husband too, but they don't, you know, we can't tell them why. They sent me to go do blood work and I'm there and I look at my husband and he's, you know, trying to be supportive for me, but also, you know, dealing with the office and telling them, hey, I'm kind of busy, you know, you guys handle it. And also entertaining my kids. I put on a strong face for him because he's putting a strong face too. We talk about it as if, what if, you know, it's not happening? What if I'm 8 weeks? You know, what if it's not a miscarriage? I'm just spotting. And about 2 weeks pass and I have no bleeding, no nothing. And I'm thinking like, okay, well, maybe it was a miscarriage and, you know, we're done with it. You know, I bled and that's it. I tell him like, I don't want to be alone. I want to go into the office with you. And he was very supportive even when, you know, he told me you need to rest, you know, you need to stay home. And he stayed home with me for like a day or two and just kind of was keeping the kids, you know, occupied while dealing with work and trying to deal with me. I want to say about 2 weeks in, bleeding again, like heavily, heavily. And they had told me, you know, it's going to happen. So I started bleeding heavily. I was in the shower. It was, you know, evening. And I am just passing blood clots. And I remember that moment because my son, 12 years old, my daughter, 8, they usually, you know, they play, they fight, but they usually don't get along, you know, when they're playing. But that day, they were in the room next to the bathroom, and they're laughing and playing with each other. But the laughter that when you hear your kids, like from the belly, like a full belly laughter, they're joking and they're like, ha ha. Well, I'm having my miscarriage next door. And I remember that moment because as I'm crying and I'm trying to like control my crying because I was sobbing, I could feel that even though I was losing this baby, I had something to be grateful for. And it was my children next door. It's a weird, sad feeling and feeling to have. Like, I think I needed them laughing at that moment to make me realize, like, you're going to be okay. It was such big blood clots that I'm thinking, okay, it's done, whatever. I call, you know, the doctor. They're like, okay, you know, let us know if you have any pains or anything, this and that. My husband puts the kids to bed and I'm still in the shower. I'm just there. Like, I don't want to get out. I'm in, you know, my feelings. And I go into the room and, you know, we're just there, you know, hugging each other. I was like that for a couple of days. And then I tell my husband, you know, I need to get out of the house because I feel like I'm going to go crazy. Keep thinking over and over what I could have done, what I shouldn't have done or anything, like, and it's eating me alive. And if I stay inside the house and don't go on with my day, you know, my work schedule and things like that, I feel like it's gonna create more like depression. So he agrees and he tells me, you know, I don't want you driving. I don't want you, you know, alone. So just, you know, let's stay together for the next week or so. We do that. I get back into work quick. Life, you know, business is chaotic with kids and everything. So, you know, emotional about it, but life happens. So you just kind of go with the flow. I can't remember if it was 2-3 weeks in, I start feeling dizzy, extremely tired. And I remember going up the stairs and I tell him like I'm tired. Like, I feel like I'm going to pass out. One of those times, I really felt horrible. He could tell me, you know, you're pale. I need to take you to the ER. We go to the ER and they tell me, so we tell them what's happening. And they tell my records and everything. They do a scan and they tell me, you still have a fetus. And I just start crying because I feel like I'm back in this roller coaster again. Like, I had gone back into my life and trying to move on, and I was dealing with this again, and the emotion was there, and it was so strong. I started crying in the ER, and they tell me that I can, you know, certain, you know, things, procedures I could do to just, you know, get it over with. I'm big and not taking medications or procedures if they're not necessary. So I tell her that I don't want to. The nurse and the doctor were a little harsh in their delivery of how they were saying things, and which I didn't appreciate at the time or later. And I felt horrible because my kids were there with my husband in the emergency room. Finally, like, I've had been emotional. They were in the waiting room. So my husband's like, I don't care. I'm bringing them in. I need to know what's going on with you. I need to be there for you. And so he was. And we decided that I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to let my body take its course. I can tell you now that might have been the best choice for my body, you know, not to do any procedures. But mentally, I don't think I would do that again, because from the first time they told me I had, you know, I was miscarrying was, you know, the beginning of October. And here we are a month and something weeks later, and I'm still dealing with it. And I still have to wait for, you know, to finish the miscarriage. And it honestly, the whole process took maybe another week or two. It was very hard, emotionally draining. I still was going on with my day, with work, with taking my kids to school, with, you know, all that stuff. I was still dealing with that. And we didn't tell anybody. We didn't tell anyone around us. We didn't tell. So maybe that was wrong. We didn't have the support there, but we didn't feel like talking about it. We decided to just focus on work, focus on the kids, and just keep going. Me putting a brave face and him putting a brave face, we just kind of talked about it, you know, and then just moved on. When I had my next appointment to do an ultrasound, they tell me, you know, it's done. It kind of was a relief. Fast forward, I want to say March, in the beginning of this year, when the whole COVID thing, the lockdowns, and a lot, and I mean a lot, besides just world problems, you know, that everybody was going through, with businesses closing, with, you know, COVID, homeschooling. There was also personal things going on in our relationship and in our business. So the stress was piling on. I completely had a full-blown breakdown. And I think it was the mental of everything that was happening and everything that had happened a few months before. It's crazy that I'm talking about it now, because I honestly didn't think I was going to get out of it. It was difficult. At that moment, you know, everything was going on. My husband didn't know what to do. We reached out to my brother, my sister-in-law, and they were my support system. They were our support system. It was hard. It was very hard to get out of the mental state of mind when there was bad things in the news. When you're a perfectionist like me and you're going through that as a human being, but you're also a mom and a wife. And the guilt of me being in bed, depressed, anxiety attacks, and knowing that I also needed to get up and hang out with my kids, and the guilt was there, but I just couldn't do it. I couldn't, but I knew I should. You know, kept telling me, hey, the kids are fine. You know, they're going to get fed. They're going to watch TV. It's okay if they're on their electronics. Just you take care of yourself. It was a hole that was very hard to get out of. I tried CBD oil. I tried natural, you know, calming pills. I tried, you know, meditating. I tried journaling, church, everything. I just could not get out of that mental state of mind. And my mind was very fragile. And I was just secluding myself because it was just very hard. I remember, this is going to be crazy, because if you follow me on Instagram, you'll know. But I follow Andy Frisella and I follow David Goggins. Prior to this whole COVID thing, we had gone to Vegas. I had met David Goggins there. And when I say met, I mean I was super shocked that I didn't even say a single word to him. It was my husband. I was like, oh my gosh, because I love his story. I love what he stands for. I remember looking at one of his posts. I felt like you need to fight for yourself. You need to fight for your kids. I decided I was feeling a little better, and I told my husband, like, I want to do 75 hard. At the moment, I didn't know if I was going to complete it or not. I just wanted something that could hold me accountable, because nothing, I was like, whatever. I did not care about work. I remember telling my husband when all that had started, I told him, I don't want to know anything. Like, I don't care. Don't bother me. I don't want to know, because it just put me in a spiral. And he was like, okay, he did handle it. Because we were in COVID and a shutdown, we were together 24/7. So you can imagine the stress that I felt, because he did not know how to handle the situation. He did the best he could. But as I also was very closed off and wouldn't tell him. So anything would irritate me between the kids and him, and just, it was just hard. And anybody that has gone through it, you know, would know. You know, there was days where I would just sleep all day. And there was days where I couldn't sleep because my mind was racing of 100 things. And the guilt. And it was just a full-blown, you know, meltdown. It was a breakdown. I needed to figure out how to nourish myself, because my husband wasn't going to do it. My brother wasn't going to do it. My kids weren't going to do it. I had to figure it out. So we decided, you know, after I was feeling a little bit better and, you know, walking around with the kids, I decided we're going to do 75 hard. We started doing it, and week by week, I felt not only strength physically, but mentally. My outlook started to change. I felt good, and I became more positive. It's crazy because I had, you know, like I said, I had about Goggins. I had seen Goggins. I had seen a post about it. And if you hear him, if you search for him and you see him on Instagram, the way he talks to himself is somehow, it's like my inner voice. That's how I am with myself. Like, I get on there, hurry up, da-da-da-da-da. I'm a little hard on myself, so, to push myself. So, seeing that post kind of was like, hey, like, you need to focus, like, you need to get back to it. Between that and the 75 hard, I was feeling great. We're doing that. Everything seems going back, you know, back to where it is. You know, we were back to being considered essential workers. So we were able to open up the business. And things look like they're flowing. And during that, I end up finding out that I am pregnant. I go into a panic mode. My husband talks to me, and he's like, you know, it is what it is. I don't want to tell nobody. I don't want to tell the kids. I don't want to tell nothing. He's like, okay, but I think we should. And I'm like, no, because I'm just scared. I don't want to go through that again. And we decide I'm going to continue doing 75 hard, just a little bit milder, but I still want to be active. I want to be the best that I can be possible for this pregnancy. So we do that. I go to my first appointment. Everything's looking good. They tell me, you know, I am anemic and this and other stuff. But otherwise, everything's looking good. So after that appointment, my husband and I talk, and he tells me, you know, we have to tell the kids. I understand what you went through, but I think this is a blessing. And I tell him, yeah, I think so too, but then I'm terrified. And he says, you know, we'll get through this together as a family. You know, let's tell the kids, whatever happens, happens. But we should be grateful, and we should celebrate this baby. So I agree. And I fully admire him for telling me that, because I was so scared. So we tell the kids. They're super excited. We don't let anybody else know. It's just us. While doing one of the, it's already been like another month, we're doing one of the workouts. I feel cramping, and I'm like, what the heck? I'm literally just walking a trail, nothing harsh, nothing. And I see spotting, and I freaked out. We make an appointment. They say everything's fine. It could have been normal. You know, it's normal. You know, keep going. At that point, they just told me, just take it easy. So I decided to stop, you know, the program, which honestly, I did not want to, because I was so scared I was going to go into a mental depression and get like anxiety. And I did not want to do it. So I just kind of, you know, did very light workout, one workout. I was so trying to keep a schedule because I felt that's what saved me. Here we are. You know, I am now 35 weeks. The journey that it took to get here was extremely hard emotionally, physically, but I wouldn't have it any other way. I learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about my husband and our marriage. I learned how resilient my kids are, because when we did tell them about this pregnancy, my kids, my son, privately asked me, "Did you have a miscarriage last year?" He literally asked me, and I said yes. And he said that he had found out a paper, like a doctor's paper, and that he had read it, and that his sister had asked him once because she had heard us talking, and she didn't know what that meant. And I realized how, no. And as much as we try to protect them, you know, they can figure things out. And I just want to let you guys know, it was not easy. I'm able to talk about it now, but I couldn't. It was moments of difficulty, moments of sadness, moments of wondering, like I said, what could I have done? Which, you know, you can't control it. You know, there's nothing you could or couldn't have done. Like, there's nothing. It's just, it's normal. It's your body. And as smart as you can be, as smart as, you know, taking all the precautions, things happen and they are out of your control. When you're going through it, no one's words will make a difference. But I want you guys to know that you guys are not alone if you're going through it. Let me tell you, I had friends that were pregnant, that announced their pregnancy when I was going through my miscarriage. And although I was so happy for them, I didn't want to see that on my feed. There was people that were giving birth, and I just had that sense of, why me? Not that I wish it on anybody else, but because my daughter had been praying for a baby sister, you know, and things like that, I felt like, why? Now I don't question it. Now I accept it, and I see it as part of a journey that maybe at the time I didn't see the full picture, and I probably won't till later on. It's just part of the ride, you know, that we call life. Take time for yourself, for your mental health, and take time to grieve. So yeah, that's just my advice. If you're going through it, you know, you're not alone. There's a lot of people. You know, once I started talking about it, once I started, you know, telling family and friends, they were so supportive, and so many people, friends, that were like, "You could have told me, you know, I was going through this the same time." And it's just, the support is there.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Mom, Wife, and Boss Life podcast. You can continue the conversation online by searching Mom, Wife, and Boss Life on social media or visiting our website at momwifeandbosslife.com. Thank you.